Good morning, everyone. It's always good to be here. King David was a man after God's own heart, we read in the Scripture. David is held up in the Scripture by God as an example for the kings who followed David. If the king did what was right in the sight of the Lord, he was classed with David, who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. If the king did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, he is held up as not following the example of David. As an example, let's compare King Ahaz with his son Hezekiah in 2 Kings beginning in verse 1. In 2 Kings 16, verse 1. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And here's where we're going to see how he is compared against David. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, his God, as his father David had done. And so many of the kings after David's death are held up as either following in David's footstep, being a man after God's own heart, or he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as God, as his father David had done. And so turn over to chapter 18, and we will read what the Scripture says about Hezekiah, verses 1 to 3. In 2 Kings 18. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. So he died when he was 54 years old, a relatively young man. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And how did Hezekiah stack up against the life and practice of David? In verse 3, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. And we see these two kings then are held up against David, and one did what was right in the sight of the Lord, as David did, and the other did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. So today, I'm going to speak about the good example of Hezekiah, and he's a good example for us to follow. Now, recently, I spoke about lessons from the life of Solomon. So this morning, in the time remaining, I'm going to speak about Hezekiah, and the title that I've given this is Hezekiah, a good example to follow. Hezekiah, a good example to follow. First, let's read a summary of Hezekiah's 29-year reign in 2 Kings 18, continuing in verse 4. Or verse 3, again, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Now, it's interesting that Hezekiah's father, Abraham, was a very wicked king and led Israel into great apostasy. And then here along comes Hezekiah, and he's a righteous king. And you wonder, whose influence was it that influenced him to be righteous? And, of course, one possibility is the influence of his mother, whose name was Abby, or Abijah, over in 2 Chronicles, who was the daughter of Zechariah. And so maybe his mother or his grandfather, Zechariah, were good influences on him. And then following him, his son, Manasseh, was a very wicked king. Or did Hezekiah be repulsed by the wickedness of his father and decide he was not going to go that way and follow his example? So he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses has made. I mean, he cleaned up the idolatry in Judah. For until those days, the children of Israel had burned. Let me go back just a little bit. And broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses has made. For until those days, the children of Israel had burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not part from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. If God adds to the book of Acts, and you and I are mentioned, wouldn't it be great if God would write and inspire something about you and me that would be as he inspired to be written by Hezekiah, that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. And so there was none like him before or after. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Wouldn't it be great if God would be inspired to write that about you and me? And the Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, had taken Judah away from God in great apostasy. Over in 2 Chronicles. We're going to go back and forth between 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings. And there's also a lot of this written in Isaiah, starting about Isaiah, the 36th chapter, I believe it is. You can read three accounts of some of these events. So Hezekiah's father, took Judah into great apostasy in 2 Chronicles 28. You read in verse 1 that he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. And going on over, and so God allowed Judah to be plagued by various attacks. And so Syria and Israel, the northern 10 tribes, the Lord his God delivered him into the hands of the king of Syria. And the Israelites were part of that. And in verse 8, the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters. And they also took away much spoil, and they brought it back to Samaria. And then a prophet of God told them that they were making God angry and they need to take care of these people and send them back. So they over in verse 15, they dressed them, they gave them sandals, they gave them food and drink, and they brought them to their brethren at Jericho. And so it just went from bad to worse. Look at verse 19. there in 2 Chronicles 28. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. And he just went further and further into apostasy. Verse 22, and now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. And look what he did to the worship of God in Judah. He gathered the articles, verse 24, of the house of God. He cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, closed it up. All the priests and Levites had to go back to their cities and their lives. All of that was shut down, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And so he built high places and places of pagan worship all over Judah. You read in verse 25, in every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers. And so he took Judah into great apostasy. And he was wicked in the sight of the Lord for doing it. And so immediately after Hezekiah began his reign, he began to correct the apostasy that his father had committed and led Judah into. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he didn't put it off. And that's how you and I ought to be. When we find out something that we're doing that's not right, we need to be like Hezekiah and not put off correcting it. Not put off correcting it. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and he cleansed the temple. In 2 Chronicles 29. Verse 3, he didn't wait, he went ahead with the project. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites, and he established them, and he commanded them to clean up and clean out the temple and to be sanctified so they could keep the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And he said in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 29, for our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs on him. And so they set out then to cleanse the temple and to sanctify themselves so they could begin to keep the holy days. And in verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 29, they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. Then they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Now when was the Passover? First Passover was on the 14th. So they finished getting ready for the Passover 2 days late. And so they go in to King Hezekiah and they say, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings and so forth. Moreover, all the articles, verse 19, which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord. So then Hezekiah sets out to restore the temple worship, and it was in his heart to make a covenant with God, to obey him, to turn away his wrath that he had toward Judah. And so they decided, since they'd missed keeping the first Passover, that they would keep the second Passover. And in 2 Chronicles 30, verse And Hezekiah sent to all Israel in Judah, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 30. And he also wrote letters. In addition to Judah, he sent to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the congregation in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time when they were supposed to on the 14th day of the first month, because a sufficient number of priests had not sanctified themselves, nor had the people gathered together at Jerusalem. So they sent runners out through all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, to invite them to come back to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Then he will return, verse 6, to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. And do not be like your fathers and your brethren who trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers so that he gave them up to astonishment, as you see. You see, the people of that day had seen the northern 10 tribes go into captivity by the Assyrians. He says, don't be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. And so the runners passed through city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, verse 10, as far as Zebulun. And how did they react? They laughed them to scorn. They laughed them to scorn and mocked them. But there were some from Asher, verse 11, Manasseh and Zebulun, who humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. And so, verse 15, they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month, the second Passover. And some of the people had come in and they hadn't sanctified themselves. And Hezekiah prayed for them, saying in verse 18, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone. And God heard his prayer and healed the people, verse 20. And so, verse 21, so the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread. Now, in the second month, after the second Passover, 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day. In verse 22, and Hezekiah gave encouragement to all the Levites who taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And look what they did. They were so joyous and so happy to have come back to God and to be doing what was pleasing in his sight. That verse 23, then the whole assembly agreed to keep the feast another 7 days. And they kept it another 7 days with gladness. So they kept the days of unleavened bread twice because of the joy and the happiness that they had. Verse 25, the whole congregation of Judah rejoiced, also the priests and Levites, all the congregation that came from Israel, the sojourners who came from the land of Israel, and those who dwelt in Jerusalem. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and a voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place in heaven. But all did not continue to go great for Hezekiah. Now here comes King Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against Judah and Jerusalem with threats and blasphemy against the Lord. Turn back to 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18, beginning in verse 13. And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, see, they had kept that second Passover in the first year of his reign, and now so it's 13 years later, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and encamped against them. The other version says, intending to take them. I mean, a siege would drag on for months or years. And so Sennacherib sends, verse 17, Tartan, Rabsaris, and Rabshakeh, some of his officials, envoys, to bring a message to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah sends, verse 18, Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah out to speak to him. And so then these Assyrians then begin to blaspheme God and really try to intimidate Hezekiah and the people of Judah. He tells them that they're trusting in a broken rod to be trusting in the Egyptians, in verse 21. And verse 22, but if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? And he really blasphemes God, and he goes through the nations and the cities that the Assyrians have taken. And they say, he said, well, none of their gods saved them from the hand of our king. And how do you think your God is going to save you? The people of Judah had reason to fear the Assyrians. They were a brutal people. I went on the internet and read about how the Assyrians treated their captives and their prisoners. And I saw this statement more than once. The Assyrians seem to have been the masters of brutality. The masters of brutality. Here is a quote. In one case, when a city resisted as long as possible instead of immediately submitting, King Ashurnasirpal, was the king of Assyria, proudly records his punishment that he inflicted on the people of this city. I flayed as many nobles as had rebelled against me and draped their skins over the pile of corpses. Some I spread out within the pile, some I erected on stakes upon the pile. I flayed many right through my land and draped their skins over the wall. What does flayed mean? According to Merriam-Webster, it means to strip off the skin or surface. These brutal Assyrians skinned their prisoners alive and draped their skins over walls and over piles of corpses. They cut off body parts. They fastened people to stakes. They pushed a wooden peg up their anus into the wood and were careful to miss the internal organs and left them there to die. Nailed to a pole, in effect. These were brutal people. So Hezekiah and the people of Judah had reason to fear these Assyrians. So let's pick up the story in 2 Chronicles 32. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come to make war against Jerusalem, you read there that he made preparations to resist the Assyrians, and he encouraged his people. Verses 6 through 8 in 2 Chronicles 32. Then he set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement. And we need to give others encouragement. God is a God of comfort and encouragement. And we need to be people of comfort and encouragement. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude is with him, for it is more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And so Sennacherib sends his servants with boasts and threats against the Lord. It's another account of that here in verses 9 through 16. In verse 14, he's talking about all the nations that Assyria has captured and enslaved. Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hands? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people from my hand? That your God should be able to deliver you from my hand. You're just going to be like all these other nations that we have trampled on and attacked and conquered. Who is your God that he could deliver you from my hand? And he says, don't let Hezekiah deceive you or persuade you like this. For no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? I mean, he really stuck his fist in God's face. And his servants spoke even more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. And when Sennacherib goes and to fight other places, he sends letters back to Hezekiah, sends his messengers back. And so his servant spoke even more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to revile the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, as saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. And these messengers of Sennacherib were speaking in Hebrew. And those that Hezekiah sent out asked them to speak in Aramaic and not speak in Hebrew. And so the Assyrian response is, well, our king sent me not just to talk to you and Hezekiah, but to the people on the wall that are going to eat their own waste. And so the Assyrian messengers spoke in Hebrew. And he goes on to say, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. Then they called out with a loud voice in Hebrew, after being asked to speak in Aramaic, to frighten them and trouble them that they might take the city. And they spoke against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, the work of men's hands. And how did Hezekiah respond? In 2 Kings 19. In 2 Kings 19:1, we see how Hezekiah responded, and we need to follow Hezekiah's example of how he responded. And so it was, verse 1 of 2 Kings 19, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, no sign of sadness, and covered himself with sackcloth, humility, and went into the house of the Lord. He went to God. He went to God and beseeched him for protection. And so then he sent his servants, Eliakim, Shebna, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And so they asked for Isaiah to pray. He says in verse 4, it may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Syria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will prove the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, the Eternal. Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So just as the Lord prophesied through Isaiah, Sennacherib left Lachish, where he was encamped, and went against Libna. And then he heard a rumor about the Ethiopians. You can read there in verse 8 and 9. So Sennacherib leaves, sends messages to Hezekiah with threats that we read about over in 2 Chronicles, and sends a letter. And Hezekiah's response, again, he did something that is a good example for us to follow in 2 Kings 19, beginning in verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And what did Hezekiah do? How did he react? Well, he went back to God. We ought to always go to God. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread this letter out before God. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear, open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands. A very true statement. They had laid waste the nations and their lands, and they were a brutal people, masters of brutality. And have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. So God heard Hezekiah's prayer, and he responded. Verse 20, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, that which you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. And notice, you can read there what Isaiah sent from the Lord to Hezekiah. But over and down to verse 32. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. See, David still being held up as a man after God's own heart. And then you read about how God took care of Sennacherib. In verse 35, and it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. 185,000. When they woke up the next morning, there was 185,000 of them dead. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. And you read over in one of the other cases that he went home shamefaced. And he ended up just as God prophesied. Verse 37, "Now it came to pass as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons Adrammelech and Sharezah struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Arad. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place." So God saved Hezekiah and Judah and Jerusalem from the brutal hands of the Assyrians. And then we read about how Hezekiah got sick in chapter 20, 2 Kings 20. He was sick and near death, verse 1. And Isaiah the prophet brought him word from the Lord. "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." How did Hezekiah react? Well, he went to God again and he prayed. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord." And you know he must have prayed this in a heartfelt, fervent way, the way you and I ought to be praying to God. "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. I mean, he was torn up to the quick. And so Isaiah is on his way out, and God sends him a message to go back. Then it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." So obviously Hezekiah had some kind of boil or something like that. Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of fig." So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And so the Jews tend to ask for a sign. And so Hezekiah said to Isaiah, verse 8, "What is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" And so Isaiah told him that the sign from the Lord would be, he could choose, would the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, verse 10, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. So Hezekiah had a practice of going to God in all of his trials and troubles. The trials and troubles with the Assyrians, when he was sick and told to put his house in order, he went and he prayed and he wept bitterly. And God heard his prayer and answered his prayer and healed him and caused the shadow to go back 10 degrees on the sundial. But then Hezekiah got lifted up. Turn back over to 2 Chronicles 32. In verse 24 is a kind of a recount of his sickness. "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign." But Hezekiah let some things go to his head. He got lifted up. "But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown to him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem." lifted up is Strong's 1361, GABA, G-A-B-A-H-H. And it means to soar, be lofty, figuratively to be haughty. And it's translated several ways, two of which are to be haughty or be proud. So Hezekiah was proud, he was haughty, I mean, his ego got in the way. In Second Chronicles 32, verse 31, it doesn't say what he was lifted up about. So we don't know exactly what it was, so I asked the question, was it his response to the envoys that came from the son of the king of Babylon after he was sick? Verse 31 of 2 Chronicles 32. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him. God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. And so God tests us to see what is in our heart. He sent Abraham and Isaac up on the mountain and told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And he allowed Abraham to bind Isaac and to take the knife and raise it to cut his throat. And then God stopped him. And he said, "Now I know. Now I know." And so God withdrew his hand here from Hezekiah in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. And so God wants to know what is in our heart. Are we going to be true and faithful? Are we going to be like Hezekiah and trust God and be faithful all of our lives? Are we going to kind of waltz off after the world? Are we going to sidle up to Christmas and Easter to see how close we can get to paganism? We need to be faithful and true like Hezekiah was. This may have been Hezekiah's attitude, and I say may, when Berodach Baladan, the son of the king of Babylon, sent envoys with a letter and present to Hezekiah after he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. That's back in 2 Kings 20, verse 12, beginning. This prince of the king of Babylon heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And so Berodach Baladan, there in verse 12, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he'd been sick. And so Hezekiah really took them in. And he showed them everything. All the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices, precious ointments, and all his armory. All that was found among his treasures, there was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. No, he didn't do a wise thing here at all. And so then God sends a message from Isaiah to Hezekiah. "What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They came from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." And so here's God's response and God's sentence. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon." And it was. It was by King Nebuchadnezzar. "Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good, for he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? So he was glad that these things were going to happen after his death. We read, when we read the summary of Hezekiah's reign, one of the last statements that I read was that God prospered Hezekiah in every way. You can read about Hezekiah's wealth in 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32, beginning in verse 27. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and for all kinds of desirable items. Storehouses for the harvest of grain, wine, and oil, and stalls for all kinds of livestock, and folds for flocks. Moreover, he provided cities for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very much property. This same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of the upper Gihon and brought the water by tunnel to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. However, he kind of messed up with the princes of Babylon that we read there in verse 31. So Hezekiah was a very good, righteous example for us to follow. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Hezekiah opened up the temple of God that his father Ahaz had closed and restored temple worship. He destroyed the pagan sites of worship throughout Judah. When Judah and Jerusalem were attacked by Sennacherib and the Assyrian armies, Hezekiah besought God to intervene and protect Judah and Jerusalem. Through the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah was told that Sennacherib had blasphemed the Lord, would not attack Jerusalem, but would return to his own land and fall by the sword. When Hezekiah was sick and told by Isaiah to get his house in order because he was going to die, Hezekiah prayed a heartfelt prayer to the Lord and wept bitterly. God heard his prayer and sent Isaiah back to inform Hezekiah that the Lord would heal him and add 15 years to his life. The scripture says that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel and held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following the Lord, but he kept the commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with Hezekiah, and he prospered wherever he went. Hezekiah was a good, righteous example for you and me to follow.